tell you. This is high tech, man.
Here's our
high tech.
We
don't want a ticket. We don't want a ticket. You want me to carry it back? Both do that. I never took it any further, did you? Huh? What can you do, five?
What you
did you only do that when you're in college? Before college? Yeah. Was it during your period of time where you were taught for a young Jewish lad who might want to just imagine?
I did want to imagine.
Yeah, yeah. It's all making sense. This type of entertainment you can expect to see on Marin B. Cedar when we launch the real site. We're trying to get Sam to lighten up a little bit.
This is what you do when Rome is burning.
Fiddle or juggle. Sam chose...
Happy autumnal equinox.
Sam chose juggling. I choose napping. When the going gets tough, the tough get napping. Exactly. Voice,
hello,
voice from stage left. Thank you. Thank you, Red. Is a I already got some important IMs here, man. This is going to be a...
You should put it back.
This is going to be a powerful show, Sam. Look at the IMs that are already coming in.
I'm not getting any
red,
IMs.
Red is a good color for me.
Oh.
Yeah. Already. See, it's riveting. Things are happening.
Welcome to the Autumnal Equinox Financial Meltdown Show.
Sam, get mad again. He spent the entire fucking day going, why the fuck am I not on radio? What? This is the time where I need to be on radio. Now it's happy-go-lucky, Sam. Put it on a clown's nose, throw some apples around. Jesus Christ, man. Get into it. Are you going to explain to us what the fuck is going on? All I know is I'm watching the Sunday talkies, or whatever they call them, the shows. And when Paulson is asked, what about the people? All he could say is, we'll get through it. People get through this stuff. We're Americans.
Yes, everybody's going to have some pain, folks.
Yeah, we're going to get through it.
Everybody's going to have some pain.
I'm freaking the fuck out. I'm going to call my broker in a
minute. We're going to call Mark's broker on today's show.
Yeah.
We're going to welcome our special guest of the day.
And we also have a contest winner from England.
Have a contest winner from England.
Susie's over here. Real quick, just to get ahead of him. He won the contest, which was essentially... Does anyone like Sam's movie? And she was one of three people to write in first. I didn't understand it, but it seemed enjoyable because there were funny people in it.
She hadn't seen it.
And I'm just trying to make you look good. And we flew her out from England to see the production of the show and to be part of the show's production and be a live audience. What are you doing?
I'm pitching the movie. Bad Situation. Available on samcedarshow.com for purchase with 2 hours of extras, including... Stephen Colbert.
What do? Am I in the extra footage at all?
Probably not.
I still have to watch the whole movie. I've seen the part with me in it a couple of times.
These are not Columbia County apples, as far as I know. They're Marin brought in a bag. I don't know why, because I have tons of apples.
You keep talking about this fucking farm, but not one item has crossed this desk as a gesture of kindness
or
to show the what?
These apples are not ripe.
They're right.
They need another week. And we have a special guest in addition to our studio audience today that we've imported from Great Britain.
Yep.
Just because they pay in European currency.
She wanted to see
the extra cash.
How shows were made. And we, and this is a great example of how television, how show business is made.
Here's a hint.
By the way.
As to who our special guest is.
Let me get closer.
Well, why don't you back up?
Put it closer.
If you backed up from the camera, it wouldn't look so tiny. It's a beaded bracelet. Oh, it's very genteel. We brought in our jeweler, Janine Garofalo. Janine.
That was it? I thought you were going to tease it a little more. Janine, you were great on Bill Maher. Did you get my message?
Yes, thank you.
It was really good.
You got to speak up a little bit.
Yes, I did, Mark. Thank you.
Where is she?
I feel like this is like that sketch with Jimmy Fallon and Horatio Sands.
We stole it from them.
I'm broke, you guys. Apparently I bought $700 billion worth of horrible assets this weekend, and
were you sold
I got
that?
To sell braces.
That's right.
They sold you on that?
I didn't know I wanted them, but apparently those bad assets.
They're going to make money.
Well,
just wait it out.
I trust Henry Paulson, the treasurer, because you know he used to work at Goldman Sachs, so he should know.
Yeah, they're going to make money. America shouldn't be worried. They're going to turn around. They're going
to
turn around and sell these things.
Back up a little bit. Maybe you can put that there so you can put your mouse there. Just back up a little bit so we have a mise en scène that is not so.
Look where I am now. Hey, where's Mark?
Back up.
Level of professionalism on this show is.
Watch this.
Oh, now I'm better lit.
Oh, now someone's asking who Janine's tattoo artist is because we have this.
Friday Jones. Go to FridayJones.com.
Yeah, because Melina in her mid-40s has decided it's time to start tattooing. Isn't that the time where you go, God, I'm glad I didn't do that?
Oh, I'm going to get a tattoo that says the stock market was belly up and all I got was this lousy $700 billion worth of lousy assets.
But people should know
that. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Nice to see you.
You know, it's not.
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
Thank you.
Aw,
cute hug.
Hey,
what? I'll say hello.
Yes,
my name is Nicole Sandler. I did mornings on IRG.
You're on the show?
Oh, my God. Hi. Yeah. So, it was a whole month ago when they fired me and replaced me with China.
Well, really?
Oh, that sounds like this station.
You should know how it feels to be replaced by
China. They've been fired
twice. I know, but
I'm joking,
I'm a big fan of all of yours.
Thank you.
And when they took you off the air,
Well, thank you.
Well, you too. But morning tradition is, you know, what I'm talking about.
Actually, I was on in the morning.
Yeah,
9 to noon.
Yes, I know. But still.
She liked that fun. Anyway. She didn't want to be drained.
But then when they took you off the air, they finally, you know, brought me on to do mornings. And
right.
Now they just killed me.
Were you able to at least badmouth the people that...
No, because I did my last show
professional radio operation?
The Friday before... the Democratic Convention, the 22nd of August, and I had all these people lined up because they wanted to send me to Denver, God forbid. And then I just got finished saying, all right, have a great weekend, I'll see you Monday, we'll do our convention stuff, and my boss said to send me off to continue, and so we just did our show.
All right, we got to continue to do,
when the studio audience starts falling asleep, then we know
we've got a problem. All right, so folks.
Your brother.
Sorry,
he's a record guy in Los Angeles.
No, my
brother's
a lawyer in New
Jersey.
Are you
going to quiz
her?
Like,
no,
are you sure? Are you sure? Really?
Yeah.
Are cousins? Do you have any relatives?
Getting a
not
bit.
In that record. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good times.
He built himself.
All right. We're doing a show.
Don't let
people watch.
RadioOrNot.com is my blog and podcast.
Thanks. All right, we'll see you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Nice meeting you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
All right.
Take care.
Now you're totally blocking Janine from the camera.
I have a question.
Should we shut the door?
Yeah.
Who was that?
She didn't work for that.
That was Nicole Sandler for you, Nicole Sandler fans. I'd never met her before. And apparently.
Don't put making stuff up. All right, so.
Oh, she was at WINZ. After us?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. Sorry about that, folks. So. Here's the deal. It's not just $700 billion according to this package. And I hope, let me start off by saying, I hope everybody has called their congressman and their or congresswoman and their senators this morning. I did. Schumer's office hung up on me like three times. But Gillibrand was, office was very receptive to my, I was a little bit aggro.
Rick Dodd's office would be receptive. He's been...
Dodd has fashioned a pretty decent counter proposal, but the bottom line is you're all about to get fucked royally.
And now, for a long time.
Fortunately, I have not been paying taxes for over 12 years, and I will not be.
I think you actually get money back now, don't
no,
you?
No, I actually get a rebate. Basically, this is what the deal is. Paulson is acting as if this is a liquidity crisis. And it's really a solvency crisis.
Hold on. Back up, Sam. Explain that to me for more.
All right. Let's say I had...
How many apples do I have and what happened to them? Can
well,
you do it that way?
No, but I can do it like... let's say I bought a CD. Let's say I have $10,000.
and you bought Bad Situation CD.
No. Oh. I didn't buy a Bad Situationist DVD, which I could buy on samcedarshow.com. I bought a CD for $10,000. It doesn't mature for 12 months. I can't take it out till then. But 3 months in, my roof is broken. I need 10 grand.
Fix the roof.
Or we'll say 5 grand to fix the roof because
right.
I know a cheap guy.
Right.
Well, Mark, you're sitting there. You have 5 grand.
Yeah, I got 5 grand.
You can say to me, Sam, here's 5 grand now. I want 7 grand when your CD comes to maturity. Because I have a liquidity crisis. I have $10,000 worth of assets,
yeah.
but I don't have any cash on hand and I need it.
Right.
Now, if you were the government and I was Wall Street, you'd be getting a good deal and I would get off the hook.
Right.
A little bit, anyways. You'd be worth $7,000 at the end of 12 months. Well, that's not what's going on here. I don't have 10 grand in a CD. I have 10 grand of paper that used to be worth 10 grand, but now it's worth zero.
It's like my contract from Danny Goldberg days.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so if you came to me and said, well, I'll give you 5 grand for that 10 grand worth of contracts that are worth zero, I'm like, great, give me the 5 grand, and you have nothing.
And you knew it was nothing.
And I know it was nothing, and in fact, you know it was nothing, because you're Paulson, and that money is not yours, it's your dad's.
Right.
Or the taxpayer money. That's the situation that we have right now.
Right,
does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But let's talk about some of these solutions, because when I watch Paulson on the shows, all they're saying is that we need to get this to the president's desk as soon as possible. I'm the king of money. I get to do with whatever I want with your money. Don't ask me any questions. I'll take care of it. I know what I'm doing. And the people will be fine. Just buck up. Quit crying. Bite down on the wood.
Right.
So well, what are the other solutions? What are the Democratic angles on this?
Well, there's a lot of different solutions, but the bottom line is the most of them center around, rather than giving Wall Street this money to make up for their solvency crisis, you can actually go directly to the mortgage holders and work out all their loans. Because a lot of this is happening because of adjustable rate mortgages or interest-only mortgages that are resetting at a higher rate now, and they're going to foreclose.
So you're saying if the federal government offered like a window and said, for the next 30 days, all you people who can afford it to actually pay your loans off if the rate was lower, here's the rate. You have 30 days to get in on this. Let's make this happen. We have people to advise you, and let's get as many of those as possible.
Yeah, I don't know about the you know the 30-day thing.
Or whatever.
But the little part is basically go and negotiate each of these loans with people to a point where the people on Wall Street, they may lose some money, but you'll basically shore up the housing industry, which will stop this problem at its source, rather than going and trying to fix it 3 or 4 steps down the line. Because if Wall Street is made whole, you still have this problem with all these foreclosures and nothing's fixed. And that's the gist of the type of proposals you're starting to see from Robert Reich or Dean Baker or...
What about the people that are saying that if we, the taxpayer, are going to, you know, have no choice in investing this money in our future because of your fuck-up, shouldn't we get a return on that money if it ever comes back?
Well, that's right, but we can't get a return
because there's nothing,
there's no value there. These are not, again, loans that are going to somehow miraculously come back. These are loans that are fucked unless you go and you actually work them out. And that's the nature of like what the Dodd proposal is saying, we'll give you this money, but some of it has to go directly to refinancing on terms that these borrowers can handle.
I actually think that many of the people, 12 to 15 people that are watching this right now, have probably read the language of the proposal for Congress, and it's disturbing the amount of unilateral power it gives Paulson. I mean, you'd almost think you were reading a satire of a proposal for a guy who was just made the king of all money.
Well, guess what would be worse? If McCain wins, Bill Graham will be the Treasury Secretary.
I can't. I would if I were McCain. I would just
can you
stop
the
race.
Volume on the on the.
Trying to figure out how to do it. Here we go. Under settings, perhaps that would be it.
Hit that
microphone.
Yeah. Click. Raise it up. There
you
go.
You.
Oh, that's nice.
That looks
you
good.
You can go a little further.
I don't know. Then it starts to break up. All right.
Well, if you push back.
If you want to IM M. Marin, you got to do it in big type because we're old and we're far away.
Okay. How's that? Is that better? I think that's better.
What was I just saying? The language of the proposal. That in and of itself, why aren't the Democrats going after that? They must be going after the language. I mean, it literally makes Henry Paulson the end-all and be-all. How to gamble. This guy's a gambler. They're all professional fucking gamblers. Just because he was Goldman Sachs doesn't mean he's any more knowledgeable than anybody else. They are professional gamblers. And the fact that Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley have now become commercial banks means that they step away from the table. Put the dice down. Step away from the table. If they're doing that, the fucking jig is up. Am I right?
Yeah, I think the jig is up, but I mean, the bottom line is this stuff is still seething through the entire world economy because you've got people who leveraged upon leverage these IOUs, these loans that will all turn to shit.
And they know they're going to turn to shit. So this is just, it's the same thing they've been doing for 30 years, which is inflating the numbers of nothing into something that looks like it's worth something. Only this is really meaningless.
Well, I don't think they thought all this was going to turn to shit because I think they all believed that the real estate prices were going to continue to go up from here to eternity.
I don't know if that's true. I think they always knew there'd be a bailout. No, I think they always knew they would be protected. They were willing to, the risk has been shifted. And even with now, they say the private banks are now under more scrutiny and regulation now that they are, you can make a deposit. That's not true. The SEC was supposed to be regulating them. They never did. Hello.
Hi,
and they're not going to be regulating that. It's like I said, Henry Paulson's going to make sure that nothing touches Goldman Sachs and all the other cronies. And it will be, they will continue along this way, and especially if Phil Graham and John McCain will be going right, even worse, because he is the king of deregulation.
I really think that McCain is just going to, I think he should just step out of the race. It seems like if Obama doesn't handle it properly, they've achieved what they wanted to achieve anyway. He's a lame duck from day one.
Yeah.
There's no money to legislate anything or make any changes.
Yeah. Obama needs to, there's some great posts by Ian Welsh at Fire Dog Lake about how this is Obama's big FDR moment. And we had talked, Mark, in the past about we thought this was going to happen sometime in his first term. But basically, the shit has hit the fan, and he's got to say no to this deal because the Democrats are going to follow his lead, and this is the time we have to stand up, do something that may or may not be politically risky, because it seems like, for some reason, the taxpayers seem to be pissed about this notion of buying $700 billion worth of garbage.
Not only that, they just spent a lot of money in Georgia. Dick Cheney made sure we just spent billions of dollars propping up Georgia's government.
Can I ask you guys a question? What is it? I mean, When I started hearing Dodd and then and Boehner on the talk shows, and when you start hearing Republicans paying lip service to bipartisanship, you know it's a setup of some kind.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that if Obama doesn't handle this very confidently and deliberately and diplomatically, not in the sense of bipartisanship, but if he doesn't make his message really clear, they're going to attack him as being somebody who is, he doesn't care about the people. He's making this a political issue. Am I right?
Well, of course, the media will not ever have his back, and they will continue to claim it's being politicized one way or the other. Even when somebody has a solution, they will still say it's a he said, she said. You know
right.
what I mean? As if the fault doesn't lie with the conservative push over the last 30 years to deregulate and undo all of the protections after the crash of 29.
How does this pay out? I mean, we're talking about this debt. What does this mean to the taxpayer in terms of tax increase? I mean, McCain is still talking about tax cuts. He's still talking about privatizing Social Security, which should be easily dismantled right now. I mean, anyone who's saying that to put that into bonds or municipal bonds or any sort of bonds, that he should be attacked immediately, saying that you want to dump Social Security.
Well, he wanted to put Social Security into the stock market.
Right.
But Janine had a good point, is that a lot of these people probably figured that at the end of the day there would be a bailout. I mean, you had the savings and loans, you had, what was it, home mortgage, what was the, in the late 80s, and then Bear Stearns. I mean, we're creating what is known as a moral hazard, which is that if you don't lose your money when you place highfalutin bets, or high wire bets, then you keep doing it, because you'd be an idiot not to. I mean, if you know that I can bet this money, if I win, I keep all the money. If I lose, Daddy comes and pays for it in the form of taxpayer dollars. What's the incentive to stop?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's why Henry Paulson will make sure it gets to continue. And if there was a McCain, which I don't think there would be, I think Obama will win this handily. But if there was, and there was a Phil Graham Treasury, which I think that's his intention to appoint Phil Graham, It will. The whole point of the conservative unitary executive theory, I think, carries on into the business model, into the government, meaning there's a couple of people at the top who get to do whatever they want, financially, militarily, and the risk will always fall on you. And the gap between the haves and have-nots is supposed to get wider and wider, and I think part of it has to do with funneling people towards the military.
And they're certainly not afraid to throw people under the bus. I mean, Paulson knows he's, you know, on some level he could be being set up, and he's willing to accept that, right?
I don't know if that's true, but he would go right back to work somewhere else.
Right,
right, but he would definitely lose the gig.
What doesn't matter anyway, he would be losing.
It would be stunning if he was kept on as Treasury Secretary.
Okay, so tell me how this pays off, though. Well, how does it affect the taxpayer in the immediate sense?
Well,
I mean, I know it's a debt, but how does it pay off?
Well,
I mean, what does it
you've
mean?
Added $1 trillion to the debt, the national debt, and obviously you need more taxes, and it devalues the currency, arguably.
So Republicans raise taxes.
Well, no, they starve the government.
But yeah, they will cut social services to the bare bone. Hopefully there will be some loopholes closed.
I'm trying to think of a point, a campaign point.
Obama, hopefully, this is a gift he's been given, but, you know, I have no confidence in Democratic strategists on how they advise their candidates to approach the public sector. They have never done a very good job when they've been given gift after gift over the last 8 years. They, you know, Joe Biden should make short work of Sarah Palin. That is if he is allowed to... You know, if the strategist allows him
he's
to do
stuff,
he could do it in October, you know.
I think Biden's a little polite.
Biden's going to be too polite to her because they're going to tell him it's going to look mean if he comes down hard on her. Also, Obama, they're going to tell him that he doesn't want to be wonky or be too serene. You know, they always claim that people don't want that.
But Obama, but...
You know, I heard, I told Mark this story. I was listening to, I can't remember the name of the guy, but it's Money Talk on WABC. And a guy called in. So I got two questions for you. Sounded like a real Long Island Hannity listener. And so I got two questions. Why did they bail out AIG as opposed to Lehman Brothers? Which the answer is fairly straightforward. AIG's got their fingers in a lot more of this stuff, and they actually insure all these people who've taken these risks. So if they fail, it has exponentially more problems. And then second question, he says. I'm 47 years old. I've never voted for a Democrat in my entire life. But I think I'm going to vote for Obama. I just don't see how we can vote for John McCain. I mean, I was sitting in my finance club.
What?
Yeah, they like guys get together and talk about stocks.
Like baseball?
Let's go out and have a beer. We'll all trade stock stories.
Do they have like a fake league? Like where they, fantasy?
Yes,
stock
like a registering thing, but they actually...
They're putting a billion into
they do that. And you know what? That wouldn't be a bad thing for us to get engaged in something like that.
What? I can barely understand you.
Well, if we don't spend the money, we could just see how far your portfolio drops. That actually could be funny. But
my friends
were like, when Obama came out, when this first thing blew up, Obama came out and he said he wants to take a wait and see approach. My friends were like, he's weak. I said, you kidding me? Fucking McCain doesn't know what he's doing. He didn't say fucking. But it was a subtext. And he asked this guy, who was the host of Money Talk, do you think John McCain knows what he's doing? And the guy, who is sort of conservative, I mean, I've heard in the past, he's not a progressive by any means, says, well, you know, Sarah Palin says she can see Russia from her house. And the guy says, I know you're being facetious. And he goes, no, she said that. And he goes, well, I get your message, you're being facetious. And the guy says, well, look, I don't want to get political here, but when John McCain said a few weeks ago, I don't know anything about the economy, I take him at his word. And I actually think that this event, this economic crisis, and the stuff going down to Pakistan right now, really hurts McCain. Because when he chose Sarah Palin, he basically said, I'm in this to win this, and I'm not the guy I've been pretending to be for years and years. And I think guys like this 47-year-old Republican who said, I think Sarah Palin's a disaster, who were McCain's base, those Republicans who just care about their tax cuts and just care about the economy, I think he lost all those people. And frankly, I don't think the Republican establishment at this point cares. I think this Paulson proposal is basically We don't care if McCain gets in there, because if we can drain $700 billion, at least, with absolutely no oversight, they win anyway.
And I stand by what I said last week. I think that the only thing that qualifies Sarah Palin to be a Republican leader is her ability to parent the retarded.
Apparently not very well. She cut funding for the Special Olympics. Probably doesn't spend a whole hell of a lot of time. It's a baby. And she flew, not only was she just about to have a baby, she flew to Texas from Alaska. Her water breaks.
Yeah, right.
Amniotic fluid is leaking. Gets back on the plane, flies back to Alaska.
Well, she's not good at necessarily caring for actual...
So she can hire someone to parent the retarded again, which qualifies.
I have a Pakistan thing
for
her to be a Republican. We're gearing up for our October surprise, by the way, with the Pakistan.
When was the last time an October surprise happened?
Well, it's going to happen either at the end of October or November. They're going to find Osama or find his bones.
Haven't I heard this before?
That's what this secret incursions into Pakistan. Now, why would the White House announce a secret plan to go into Pakistan a few weeks ago?
Because don't they have a little more support from the new guy in charge?
No, I think this is all about creating the idea that they're really getting things done to help McCain, and if they can come up with Osama bin Laden right before the election,
cuts in McCain's favor now.
I don't think
I think you can manipulate his followers like that.
I don't think they want
the news cycle with the idea that they've got Osama bin Laden.
I think they're going to let Obama win.
Yeah, but
I think they're going to let him win.
I don't know. I hope that's true. The only way they're going to let him win is if a huge more disasters than we know about.
Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, if the Republicans continue to run the country,
right?
What the fuck are they going to do?
They've already gotten most of what they want.
Yeah, but if they sit this one out, they can blame Obama for everything.
They can still blame the Democratic Congress for everything.
I don't even know why they would want it.
Well, they've gotten almost everything they've ever wanted. Their mission was accomplished in Iraq. They did exactly what they wanted to do. They installed military bases in Iraq, and they started privatizing everything. They've got the oil contracts. Now they have the illusion that not all the oil contracts can stay in place, but they're going to have another round of bidding, and you know it'll go to the American companies. They are trying to establish a presence in Pakistan now. I don't know whether it's just for show or to provoke something. They definitely would like to provoke something with Russia and Georgia, and that's why that Scheinemann was working as a lobbyist for.
So you're saying that if McCain wins, then the idea is to reinstigate the Cold War.
I have a feeling that's pretty lucrative for some people, and it's also just good for Republican business in general.
Yeah, and stuff is already still in place for that.
You know what else, though, Mark, is in the Arctic region, there's plenty of oil contracts for theoretical resources that we share with Canada and Russia.
Right.
That could be our bid with Stephen Harper, who's a right-wing shill, to try and get our territory established in the Antarctic, where the waters are more navigable because of global warming, and make sure Russia doesn't get there. Hands on it.
And how does this affect me and Astoria?
Also, Stephen Harper has manipulated the Canadian elections to come earlier before their economy collapses. Having elections in Canada October 14th, which is not how they do it.
Yeah, this is the good.
What do you mean?
Let's do some IM. So,
we're not supposed to talk about Canada?
The Supreme Court is actually probably one of the more important.
John McCain would pack that.
That's right.
Yep, they want to get that done.
That's right. I guess I'm being like strangely
optimistic
in my belief.
I think he always could have. That's why McCain inflates the numbers of people who show up to see him speak. You know, in one case they said 23,000 showed up, and the fire marshal said it was 3,500.
Of course. McCain is dead in the water. But it doesn't matter if Obama approves this plan. Because at the end of the day, the Democratic Congress is going to do what Obama says here. They're going to toe his line. They're not going to allow for a wedge between them. And so Obama has to come out and basically say, no, we're not going to give a blank check to Paulson. Frankly, the best thing for him to do would be to do some type of interim thing so that he can get past the election, have some type of political cachet to work on what's going to happen. Because they very cleverly put him in a situation where if he shoots this entire thing down and nothing happens, and the Republicans very well may prevent anything from happening if there's a negotiation, so that when the shit hits the fan, I guess,
so
in a grander scale, They can blame the Democrats.
A good interim thing would be to suggest some of this, offering some sort of a deal to mortgage holders, perhaps.
Main Street, not Wall Street. That's
right.
The slogan.
To reaching out to the people that this affects on the ground, yep. and putting up major economic policy until the election.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what's
and if he could do it in a way that wouldn't enable them to call him some sort of deal breaker or partisan politician,
right.
that would be the real leadership
right.
element.
The Democrats have to get out in front of this, and,
right.
And I think, you know, there has been a really sort of surprising, maybe not so surprising, unanimity about this. I don't know if you guys have been to Open Left, but there's some great anonymous emails, and actually some attributed, that some members of Congress, Democrats, are very angry about this. There's one that's a little bit scary that gives a notion of what happens next. Wait a second, let's see this one. An anonymous lawmaker from the Democrats diagrams how this will go down in the House. And hopefully this is not the way it's going to work, because this is the way most things have worked. Progressives will approach Pelosi with ideas for reform. She'll agree to push their proposals, and she'll really mean it. Then industry lobbyists will go to Dennis Moore and Melissa Bean, these are conservative Democrats, and a few other Democrats, tell them how dire the consequences of the proposals would be, and that members who understand how the economy works need to step up and stop Nancy and the crazy liberals. Then those Democrats will go to Steny Hoyer, tell them how terrible Nancy's ideas will be, and how we can't rush into something like that without much more thought. Barney Frank will try and talk to Dennis or Melissa, but it will become apparent quickly they have no idea what they're talking about. They're just repeating by rote what the lobbyists told them to say. Melissa may actually be dumber than Sarah Palin. Barney will then realize he might as well talk to the lobbyists directly and save a step. The lobbyists will agree to do something inconsequential, but certainly nothing that would really affect the industry's conduct. Then the leadership will do the math and conclude that because the vast majority of Republicans will vote against any good bill, we can't get enough votes without Dennis and Melissa crowd. The only way our leadership will conclude to get anything passed at all will include nothing more than inconsequential proposal that the lobbyists agree to. That'll be something like CEOs can't get their golden parachutes. Then we'll all go along because it would be wildly responsible not to act when we're staring over the brink of a complete collapse of world financial markets. I've seen it play again and again. It always goes to the long yardage. The only defense for the play is for significant groups of Democrats to say they won't vote for any proposal that isn't unpalatable to industry and mean it. It's a pretty high-stakes game of chicken, but otherwise we come out of this thing with nothing but a $700 billion giveaway to a crooked industry. That's the way all this shit plays out, whether it's FISA or the bankruptcy bill or on and on and on and on.
Let me ask you a question, if I could. See, because it seems to me that one of the primary issues of this in terms of people in general is that there is no new capital and there are less and less jobs. So what we're really looking at, I mean, let's do a scenario and get out of the numbers and get out of, you know, this bailout. And really, what does it look like if things get as bad as they're going to get? If possibly we enter a recession, if the economy keeps contracting, this theoretically means that people we know, people down the street from you, people in your family are going to be out of fucking work. And a lot of them aren't going to have any health care, a lot of them aren't going to have a place to live. And then there's this whole other idea that there's this whole thing in America where it's like, it's not going to happen to me. Well, it's going to happen to a lot of people. And how is this government or the next government going to absorb that again?
Well,
what are they going to do for that?
This is the way it will go. My neighbor has a friend who sells scooters. Did I tell you the story?
So we need to get scooters?
They're like little mopeds. They're not terribly expensive.
The solution?
No.
Oh.
Let
well,
a man speak.
Ultimately, we're going to get to all driving scooters.
But
a lot of the people who come in to buy these things have FICO scores like below 500. You know what that is, right?
Your credit
yeah.
score.
Credit score.
I have a very good one.
Below 500. They walk in the door. You really have a good one?
Yes, 8.
Up to 750.
That's why I got 8.
I'm at 10.
Yeah. I don't know where they go to.
Yeah, they go to 8.
But none of these people can get a loan to finance a scooter. Now, these scooters cost, like, I don't know, under $5,000. And they can't even get a loan to buy a scooter. So the scooter store goes under. And everybody he was hiring goes under. And every place he would shop goes under. These people can't get scooters. They can't get to work. My point is, we need to shore up the scooter industry.
You know what I would say?
But that's what happens. You can't get loans. People can't buy products. They can't buy houses. They can't invest into their company.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like no one's even beginning to talk about that because.
But they are though. They are though. Maybe we haven't talked about it as much. But the average family, including people that work at Merrill Lynch, including people now that work at places like AIG.
No one at the Eugene Merman show last night was talking.
Well, maybe you weren't listening.
You're going to talk about.
But I've got friends of mine from college friends who went into the business industry who have
the business industry,
general business. They worked at Merrill Lynch until about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I had some friends who are no longer working at AIG. And in general, most people have about $60,000 worth of credit card debt. That's even people who think they're doing well. So what's going to happen is we are in a recession. The economy is contracted. What always happens, an equal reaction has to come back, and it's going to come from the bottom up. Finally, there will be changes as people from home to home manage their debt better.
Because they have to put up their neighbors. People will go from home to home saying, can we just stay here for a few weeks? And that'll become so intolerable for some people that they'll have to take
action. Probably already happening with 28,000 foreclosures a month. But when people get affected personally by this stuff, and this is everybody from the upper middle class on down, everybody...
You mean poor to more poor?
So finally, their constituencies go to the civic level to each of their representatives, and then that goes up from there. So I do think, from the bottom up, there will be a significant change.
If we avoid getting into this deal with Paulson, because there can be a desire for change, but if you're locked in to feeding them $1 trillion with no ability to demand how they spend that money, it's over.
Right.
It's
what
over.
I'm saying is there can be changes, but even though Paulson has made this deal, it doesn't mean that a couple years down the road that people won't force the Congress to shift.
When has that ever happened?
I mean,
we don't know yet. I mean, I'm sure it has happened, but in our lifetime, we've never hit a
bottom
like
this.
Glenn Greenwald's writing on his site now that it's really our best hope is that the far right wing helps scuttle this deal. Because he's not confident the Democrats are going to do anything.
Those Republicans that you said were more towards complete fiscal concern, like libertarian.
The libertarian types, the Ron Paul types.
Yeah.
You know, people who are concerned that we're socializing these massive industries.
Why wouldn't more of them get on board? Why wouldn't some of the people that are...
Because they're sheep and they're lemmings. I mean...
They don't mind socialism when it's for the corporation.
They
I understand that, but it's just
these
by virtue of their careers.
Have proven that the depth of their political ideology is as deep as basically... has as much
and
ideology
for
involved.
Something not very deep.
Right.
All right, let's do
like
some IMs.
Like a shallow puddle.
Let's do some IMs, you guys.
I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back.
All right, Janine, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
What's Janine up to?
Yeah, kind of. Janine, did Bill Maher take issue after the show with you calling him on the Republican should be jailed line?
I didn't say, did I say Republican should be jailed?
I don't know.
I might have. If I did, no, he didn't. I'm sure he quickly forgot what I said and moved on to another topic.
You know, it was.
I myself forgot I said that. If I did say that, I might have said round it up and reeducated.
Well, I thought you were good because I thought that he really looked kind of stupid for a few minutes, and he really, like the way you took care of that John Fund guy. Is that his name?
Yeah, John Fund made it easy. I heard him on NPR this morning.
But this whole sort of like, go ahead, keep talking, keep it up.
Yeah, say the kings of smack talk on the right. All they do is keep it up. But and here's the thing, though, Mark, that drives me nuts.
Yes, yes.
The idea that a voter doesn't care about the policies of the failed administration, doesn't care about the suspension of habeas corpus, the collapse of the economy, eavesdropping, torture, etc.
Yeah.
What they do mind is my tone of voice. And that's what would make them vote for McCain. Now, if that's the case, they were already voting for McCain.
There's no doubt that a lot of people vote instinctually and retardedly.
If they were going to vote retardedly, but then they already are voting McCain.
People vote out of spite.
Right, they were already voting McCain.
No, absolutely. No, I agree.
It doesn't matter. You're not going to lose any.
But you know, the best hope is like even in terms of who we're talking to. The best thing that can happen is people who aren't used to thinking about this stuff because it economically compromises
That's
their
what I'm
lives.
Saying.
Right?
They are forced to.
That they might actually vote for the right reason this time.
Although Conline and I haven't spoken in 3 weeks, he's planning on voting again.
How do people still do that?
Probably because he's racist, but he won't admit to it. But that was what our biggest fight was. He just said he doesn't want somebody with a liberal record like Obama. And if that were true, that he was as liberal as you think, that'd be awesome. Second, you're just parroting thing. And I said, so I know he's doing your racist. He hung up on me.
Oh.
He left for China. Haven't spoken to him since.
Wow.
Let's talk about the.
We can try calling him out, but I think.
I wonder if we could tell all racists that they're racist, and then they would all go to China.
I know. Well, he went after me.
Are you going to call your broker?
Oh, you want to?
Yeah. Mark's going to call his broker.
Hi, Mark.
What are you going to say to him?
I'm going
to
ask her.
Her.
What's going on with the little bit of money I have left. I was smart this year. I invested.
What if you start cackling instead of the money you have left?
I invested all my money in lawyers. And lost. It was very shrewd of me, but I know exactly where it went and how I lost it. I wonder if she'll let me put it on speaker. Should I just do it anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I don't know.
I think you do.
It's Ben Spencer.
Hi, Shelly there? Shelly, Mark Maron. How are you?
Guess what?
What?
I stayed up the night you were on Conan.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Can I put?
You were funny. You were relaxed. You were fabulous.
I appreciate that. Can I put you on speaker for a minute?
Sure.
All right, because we're having a conversation about the economy.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah, me and Sam Cedar and a few other people who are listening. Now,
okay.
How's my money?
Your money is fine.
Yeah.
It really is.
Okay.
Know, the last 2 days of August, it's been up like 800 points. Today, we're down 370 points. But your money is holding up fine. You're well diversified.
Is everybody freaking out?
They've come out, you know, where they're guaranteeing all the money markets and all the funds. So people are a little more relaxed. But still, nobody knows what's going on.
All right, here's Sam.
Can I ask a question? I mean, should...
Absolutely.
Should we be worried about all this volatility? I mean, down 800 points? I mean, up 800 points, down 400 points?
You know, so like today, they're all trading this AIG, and at the close of the market now, they all have to cover their position. I think that people that are well diversified and for the long run really don't have.
What do you think about this this bailout?
I feel bad because, you know, the people that caused the bailout are getting bailed out, and the regular folk are going to be stuck with it. I think they said something like, each person is costing $2,000 to each person.
But do you think it's going to work? I mean, they're just aren't they just not dealing with the actual problem, which is these mortgages that are going to go belly up?
Well, they think it's going to work because they're going to clean up the balance, you know, the bad loans that the banks have. They're going to sell off the bad loans, and eventually the government will be able to cover it and get their money back. I think it'll be a long time.
But won't the real estate market continue to plunge if these bad loans? I mean, because these aren't just this is not just liquidity. It's a question. These loans are all going to be foreclosure.
They're all going to be foreclosed, and eventually they'll probably be bought.
But they're going to be almost worthless, I imagine.
Well, I don't think they'll be worthless. They'll be worth probably less than what they are now, but they're not going to be worthless.
Should I get into gold?
No.
All right, I'm gonna take you on speaker.
Okay.
Hi, Shelly. That was very. That was good. That was you were being professionally interviewed by Sam Cedar. So we're okay, and you're okay. Everybody's good by you. Well, thank you so much for watching. It's very nice. And send my love to everybody. Bye.
Oh,
she's so funny.
You were wonderful on phone. Your father and I, we were
That's
so
That was my broker,
tickled.
Not my mother.
I know. We were so tickled. Oh, we laughed.
Hi, Maude. You should see this woman. There are pictures of my parents and her and her husband. Her husband's name is Sheldon, and she's Rochelle. So it's Shelly and Shelly. All right? And there, Shelly and Shelly Cohen. And there are pictures of my parents and them at the World's Fair in 1962 out in Flushing. And the beehive. She has this blonde beehive that I swear to God she had till 3 years ago.
Well, it ain't broke.
Spectacular shape.
Shelly and Shelly Cohen
from Island Park in Chicago.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Cousin Octavia just sent me an IM saying I want to contact you. I got a DVD of The Bad Situationist.
Oh.
And it was actually pretty good.
Actually pretty good. I like qualified compliments. I love when after show.
Available at SamCedarShow.com.
Well, the good news is that person didn't think it would be good, and they did it anyway.
That's right.
Report for you.
So just imagine, if you thought it would be good, it would be almost, although it's probably an expectations game.
Sam, I would like to buy one from you.
I think I'll give you one.
No, I want to buy
it. Isn't
it
nice,
no,
though?
No.
You put your money into it.
Yeah, no, he's already you have to free it.
He's so close to making his money back, you don't have to worry about it.
Oh, yeah.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah.
Money.
What do you got to make back, like 60 grand?
Well, no. Because Janine knows me as the guy who sells these, except for they don't never sold.
And how about that book?
So I want to say,
I just want the book.
Looks like with 17 pounds of vodka weight on her.
I have made, let me just say this. I am in the, what is it, black? When you have profit?
Look how bad you
are. I'm in the black on the printing of the DVD.
Now
on the entire project, I am down essentially one, according to Jim Pilot, plus.
Someone just asked if Janine would be a regular part of the show on Naomi Klein. You know, you and I have interviewed Naomi Klein. You've interviewed her a lot. And, you know, she was really kind of funny and clever and charming on Bill Maher on Friday. But like, I have talked to her before and bent over backwards to try to make her laugh a little bit. But she stepped up on Bill Maher, had the zingers, had some good jokes, and really made Andrew Sullivan eat his cock.
Oh, wow. I didn't even see it. I would have loved to see him.
But they were on the same page for some stuff, but he really... And then it got into a very interesting discussion with Bill Maher, and Andrew Sullivan was attacking Bill Maher for his bigotry when it comes to religion. And it was fairly reasonable and kind of honest about how he's approaching it, about approaching Bill's condescension.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill, though he held his ground, he did look a little stupid. I got to be honest with you.
But the thing is, it's not bigotry that Bill has towards religion.
Well, that's what he said.
Merely after all these years trying to push back against the rising tide of religion.
No, but I think what Andrew Sullivan was saying, and I've had this argument with people before, is that if somebody's faith is personal, and they have a personal relationship with a God they believe in, and that faith compels them and drives their life without proselytizing or even being necessarily part of the community, it's sort of beyond reproach.
I don't think he has a problem with those people.
You know,
I think he has a problem with how it's invaded our government and how...
Yeah, I believe that's true. But he personally, I think he has issue with it because the fine line is that if you're going to call it delusional, mm-hmm. then that you're also calling me delusional.
Right.
With Andrew Sullivan.
Well, and that I would say, yes, I am.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what Bill said.
I am.
But what I'm...
Even the best of us, even the best people who use religion...
That's true, but
it's still delusional.
That's right, but there's an argument on
that.
That's right. That's the other side of it.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Some people, it's fine. I don't mind if that's
right.
What had a delusion of a God. Because actually, in his way, I think he was actually using it as the force that binds us.
And that's the example that Andrew Sullivan used, actually.
Right, but I don't think Bill has a problem with that. I think he's talking about...
No, but when you're in conversation with it, when mm-hmm. you're speaking abstractly...
Unless I get the knock
on my hair. No, when you're speaking abstractly about whether God is or isn't a delusion or believing that he is, and you're mm-hmm. talking to somebody who has a personal relationship mm-hmm. with God, even though it's not a community issue, it's a personal
yeah.
issue, that you're still saying to that person, you're delusional.
True, but it's a fact. They still are.
Yeah, but so that could come across to them as being bigoted. And
of course. Well, I don't know if it's bigoted so much as intolerant.
Well, then what
bigoted
if you come down? What if it comes down to? Well, then prove to me there is no God.
Then I would
say who's delusional?
I guess I would say there has never ever been evidence of a God ever that anyone can point to.
Yeah, according to you.
But
people
who
believe. Yeah.
Is there evidence that there is no God?
Well, I'm not a believer, so I'm being devil.
I'm saying,
that's what I'm saying
there,
here.
Is there evidence
that's
that there
saying.
Is no God?
No.
I guess there would be that prayers go unanswered all the time, then.
Do they?
Well, but wait a second. I can make requests of Mark,
right?
And just because he doesn't fulfill them doesn't mean he doesn't exist.
See, that's, yeah, see,
right, but isn't God,
I can say, Mark, please move back from the
camera.
The tenet
of religion is that God hears and answers your prayers.
No.
I believe it is. No,
that's for the Christian faith. But what I'm saying is that the idea that you're calling someone to... Okay, look, I accept that you believe in something. All right, but I believe all religion is delusional. Someone who says, well, I have faith. I have my own God. I have a relationship with God. And I'm not delusional. But you are. And I say to you, well, prove that there's no God. And it's not about science or anything else. It's that if somebody has faith in something bigger than them, that works in their life...
But that's just it. Faith is unprovable. It's faith.
That's
right. It's not subject
that's right.
to reason.
That's right.
What is delusional about it to me. If there's no way there's no scientific method that can be applied to it.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Okay, but I guess...
Faith exists.
No, faith does. That doesn't mean the God
but
does.
But whatever you hang your faith on does not have to be a provable thing.
Apparently, but that's the easy way out, isn't it? That's
no,
just the way
no,
to
I mean,
around.
It's a way to say delusion. But I mean, but...
Why
but
does everything else have to be provable in this life that we bank on, though? Why do we demand that...
I don't ask for proof of anything. I like to believe everything.
Well, okay, so when you have something that needs to be mailed,
yes.
do you pray it there or do you send it FedEx? Because it has to be there.
No, I understand that, but what I'm just saying is that faith is a binding force of communities and human beings.
If that's an emotional thing from
that's
the big
right.
brain.
That's right.
But it doesn't make it...
But you know, the fact of the matter is when you send something off to FedEx, that's also an act of faith.
True.
I mean...
But the thing is, you're actually moving toward action.
Maybe even 99 times out of 100, it'll get there on time. But I've had times where it has not gotten there.
Okay, but the thing is, Sam, you don't pray it there. You take it to the FedEx, you fill out the slip of paper. You don't look at the package in front of you and go, please, God, please send this FedEx. I have faith.
Yeah, well, no, I wouldn't trust God, but I trust FedEx. But that still also is a leap of faith.
But you can prove FedEx exists.
Of course.
Human beings are actually involved in FedEx.
But there's an argument
there's
being made about
results,
this. About this
visual confirmation of it.
But about this limbic brain idea that the evolution of the brain, I mean, there are some people who believe that that it's almost genetic, that the limbic brain was designed to believe in something greater in order for communities to exist.
I agree.
So faith in and of itself, whether you can't prove that either, what the actual intention of the evolutionary design.
Can't prove the intention, but I do believe that in our brain, for some reason, we need to believe, we need questions answered. And why science
answered. We need to suspend our disbelief, and we need to believe in order for communities to exist, because if we are inherently selfish animals, that, you know, if you do not learn that the whole is bigger than the parts, and you're completely self-involved, and you're justified in that, and all of your faith is in your ability to do and understand things, then I think that on some level, communities would dissolve.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So whether you want to call it God or the community itself or the common purpose or whatever it might be, all those things, some are more tangible than others, are fueled by faith.
But it's also fueled by selfishness as well.
Of course, if the group survives, you survive. Right. I get that.
But there is a difference between things you can apply the scientific method to or the five senses.
Yeah,
and a God is not one of those things.
But that's fine. But I mean, the whole limbic brain,
everything's a chemical transaction. That's why they're
well, but does love exist?
Yeah, but those are other things. That's right.
That's emotional, and also as a person you can be with. And also, it's like...
Well, wait.
But it could just be need.
I know it's emotional, but it could be also just need that comes arise, and you project it onto... It's just something you make up.
Fine.
It's a delusion.
Fine. Absolutely. I'm willing to go.
Well, I mean, emotions are too, then. I mean, so...
Fine, yeah. But I put it all in the same basket of emotions.
But
I do believe... Yeah. But I do believe the love someone feels for their child is the absolute purest. I think
you... But how do you prove it?
In that you would lay down your life for that child.
Really?
My parents would not have.
But even if you were to do that, I mean, why...
I asked my mom to do it recently.
You fell in love with your daughter, right? Isn't that something more powerful, in all honesty, than you've ever felt before? And it actually was an emotional, physical feeling from the second Milo was born.
It's like a severe toothache.
See, I'm not.
And here's where the wall comes down. The conversation where we can take.
Well, no, I mean, wait. Tell you. I mean, yes, I can tell you, but I mean, it's not inconceivable to me that someone's belief in God could be as strong as my ability.
We're not disagreeing about that.
I can't prove my love for my God.
I am. We're not disagreeing with that. It's still emotional.
There are people who die for God. That's like the...
Absolutely.
Jesus, don't you believe in
right,
magic?
Right, but at least Milo you can see and hold.
Don't you believe in magic?
Somebody can hold Jesus.
No, I don't believe in magic.
You don't believe in poetry? Do you believe in poetry?
I do believe in poetry. It exists. I've seen it on the paper.
Right, but what's the effect it has on you?
Do you believe
well,
in magic
what I can understand
in a young girl's
yes.
heart?
All right. But a lot of times I'm too stupid to understand the power of the poetry.
You're not stupid. You're just, you don't have faith.
Speaking of faith, V. Huber had a great point about Shelley saying that the government is going to make money off of these mortgages that nobody wants.
They're not. But
by
Shelley's a broker.
They're worthless.
Yeah. But just don't
but
let's not
profit,
look, let's not get on Shelley. All right, Shelley's a nice lady. She's doing her job. Her heart's in the right place. Is that okay? Can we go with that?
But yeah. What I would like to know,
Daniel Hughes wants to know if
she's
I'm
not
the
a
voice
professional.
Of Get Your War On. No, it's John Glazer, and I don't know who the other guy is.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Since our economy is dependent on foreign central banks, right, and the ability for them to loan us money.
I wish my parents loved me like you guys were talking about.
Their quote unquote faith in our ability to repay debt at some point in time. How do they figure into this? They're not picking up the separating, right?
Who's this? Wait a second.
Our economy rests on the largesse of foreign central banks. And
right.
Their willingness to lend us more and more money.
Right.
How do they figure into this, if at all?
Well, I don't believe that the Chinese are going to wake up one day and see any type of calculation where it makes sense for them to crash our economy. However, it certainly narrows our options in terms of influencing what they do, because they always have that threat against over our head. I mean,
who, the Chinese?
Like, Chinese, anybody
gonna,
who holds our notes.
They're just going to pull their paper
Chinese,
and...
They're
Japanese.
Not going to... They're not going to... Because it would sink their economy, too.
Right.
Because we're still big consumer nation.
That's all we do. It's our job.
But, exactly. And, however, it gives us less and less latitude to have any influence in the world, which, you know, based upon who's in charge of our country right now, that may not be necessarily a bad thing in the short run. But, we're going to have to borrow more money to do this buyout. I mean, that's basically it. And... That means that we have less and less control over our own destiny.
And that means the dollar will get cheaper and cheaper.
It means this. It's no longer, we're number one. It's more like,
we're number four.
14.
We're number 14.
We're number 14.
Which is a good thing. Which is a good thing.
Okay, here, let's do a couple more and wrap this up, you guys. All right, Janine. Yes, Janine said.
Wait a second. One more weigh in on the 60, on the faith.
Right.
Sam's right. I've had faith that I would get my majority report mug after sending him my address 10 times. But that doesn't mean he's going to honor my faith by sending it to me. I think I'm going to have to send him a self-addressed stamp box. That would do it. I promise.
I think there's still one in the kitchen cabinet. Go get it.
It's so much easier for me to do a mouse pad, even though I've blown that a couple of times, too.
Okay, so wait here. Janine said it in response to Fun saying jail Republicans, and Bill said that's not going to help. But also, John Fund predicted another 4 to 2,000 fight starting November 1, or November. I have to wonder if he went that way again with things, blah, 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 blah. Whatever. So
John
I guess
John Fund has been out and about talking about the election to help America vote. He is one of the guys who is trying to make sure it goes to McCain sex-wise. And so he has worked with other Republican groups to make it almost impossible to vote. If you're a Democrat, if
right.
you're doing an absentee ballot, if you're a college student on campuses, John Fund is one of the mouthpieces for these various little insidious groups around the country. They're trying to prevent as many Democrats from voting as possible.
They try and make it about voter fraud.
Yes.
Where somebody comes in with a fake ID or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of the U.S. attorney scandal was all about. They were trying to get the U.S. attorneys to prosecute these fake voter fraud.
But they didn't exist, though,
no,
right?
They don't
well,
exist.
Well, that's why some of the guys got fired.
It's a trumped-up thing, and John Fund even wrote a book about all these alleged Democratic voter fraud things. But it worries me a great deal to hear John Fund on NPR today and on other shows talking about what he and other Republican groups are doing right now across the country to allegedly stop voter fraud. What that means is they are dumping Democrats from the roll. They are making sure that college kids who just registered are not eligible in this election to vote. If poor people and elderly people don't have two or three forms of ID or
yeah.
$20 voter fee.
Or just $50.
Obama is actually pursuing a suit against the Michigan Republican Party that is trying to cage people by sending letters to using foreclosure lists to kick people off the voter
yes.
rolls. Janine never wants to know how is your back.
Oh, horrible. I have more steroid shots coming my way tomorrow. Epidural steroid shots in my spine.
Oh, Jesus.
Solid Mastery wants to know how my Dyson vacuum cleaner is holding up. Very well. I have faith in it.
Good luck.
What do you mean? It's a Dyson. Have you seen those things? Like only
I've seen a commercial.
I have one of the older ones.
With the ball, so it pivots?
No, not that one. I have the, it was called like the Pet Master for people
with
nine cats.
Oh,
John has also not gotten a mouse pad.
Why
really?
Are you so, you know, their faith in you is worthless then, right? So
I'm
like,
not good
like
at sending out stuff. It's hard to look at.
It's
like a Lehman Brothers asset.
You answer like crazy Republicans and just
go on email.
But
I,
you can't
I can send images to mouse pad.
No, but can't you just write, I'll get on it?
I do write, I get on it.
Treat your own mouse pad with
it. It
takes
me a long time to do it.
All right.
Wow, Ben, your calves are looking good. Do these people know how big your cats are?
What's... Oh, yeah, of course. You should see
my cats. My cats have not come to New York yet.
What, Janine, what are you doing these days?
I am right now on hiatus from 24. We go back into production next week or the week after. So right now I'm in town in New York for the Eugene Merman Comedy Festival.
I'm on the show on Friday, right?
Yeah, I think I am with you.
Yeah.
And then I also was just in Vancouver at the Vancouver Comedy Festival watching their elections unfold.
How was the Vancouver Festival this year?
Very good. Good show.
I didn't go back
good
this year.
Yeah.
And I snapped at the guy in Seattle for not asking me back. I think that's why I don't get asked back.
Santa Teresa says, I answer prayers, it's just sometimes I say no.
No. Sometimes he says no. Why, Shell?
Clue.
Shell. You were fabulous.
Clue, you don't have to send me items that are that big.
Fabulous.
I would love to see the beehive. I wish she still
had it. I'll find some of those pictures.
Good.
She's sweet. I love her. Janine. 12 inclined sit-ups and 12
okay,
back
okay.
presses a day.
I know, I have to strengthen my core.
Oh,
okay,
do.
You need
do.
To tell your representatives.
Right.
No on the Paulson plan, no blank check, and focus more on the homeowners than the owners of the derivatives.
Let's put a plan into place that helps the homeowners first, and then we can get a handle on the mortgage crisis.
Nicole, it's coming along well. I'll send you some updates.
See what's left over of people who really can't pay out on those things. And then we're going to have to... Where are they all going to live?
In, Green...
Wow.
What?
Cousin Octavia said... Oh, okay. So, Cousin Octavia, you're saying that you did not assume this was going to be good. And, I don't know. There... All of this bad situation is... The expectations thing.
Were low.
And
then she was pleased.
Cousin Octavia's British.
But
But you didn't win the contest.
How come she hasn't been on camera
so
that they can see the winner?
Of there's our contest winner, flown in from Britain.
Speak.
Say something, Steve.
Why? Because English accents sound good.
Yeah.
Hey, let's ask you a question. Do you think that the what's the new show that they stole with what's her name? What's her name? From England? It's not an English show. It's an Australian show. It doesn't count.
Kath and Kim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Australian.
It's gonna
that's
tank, right? You think it's gonna tank?
I would assume it's gonna tank because it's American. But boy, the Australian.
They redid
good.
It.
They redid it with
here.
Molly Shannon, who's fantastic.
Have,
I did have the rights for about 2 seconds, and then
I saw that we saw the new Coen Brothers movie.
I heard it was good.
It's not. Will didn't quite take off. And usually you just go and anything, like they'll have that signature feel to
right,
it.
Right.
It didn't quite manifest itself.
BCC Pipes tells Janine, do 12 incline.
Yeah.
I know, I have to strengthen my core, thank you.
Well, but I said this a long time ago. What did I say?
I know, I bought a Pilates table, didn't I?
Yeah, but you need to do Pilates.
I can't help if I'm in Los Angeles. I can't carry the table with me. My back hurts.
You can just
out.
Go to a place and do Pilates. Have someone come over.
Oh, I can't. My back hurts too much. I can't go anywhere.
Why do Americans like English accents so much?
Because they sound classy and well-mannered and intelligent.
I have a hard time with British comedy in general.
I love
and outside of outside of Sue, I don't British people don't.
And I love that new show, Gavin and Stacey. Love Welsh.
Yeah. I just don't understand the American fascination.
All right, folks. Show's over. We'll be back tomorrow. At 3. Wait a second.
I am.
No, tomorrow.
No, 2. No. When are we doing that thing?
Wednesday. Wednesday can happen a little bit earlier. It's going to be Sunday.
But tomorrow's at 3.
Yep.
bye. Are we good?